I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Share-a-thon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is March, and it is time to continue reading the Book of Concord together. We're going to take a look at this month's reading plan in the Lutheran Witness with Pastor Finneran in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Pastor Brady Finneran, president of the LCMS Minnesota North District and host of Concord Matters here at KFUO. You can hear it Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. on KFUO, and you can also hear the podcast anywhere you get podcasts or on the KFUO app, KFUO website. Pastor Finneran, welcome back.
Great to be here.
We are reading the Book of Concord together, and this month we're going to talk about righteousness.
It's kind of creepy how you said
that. It was a little creepy, actually.
Righteousness. Should I say it more bland?
Yeah. Righteousness is so bland. We need to be very careful on that. It's great. You know, it's a lot of fun. This March Madness, you know, the madness of really the grace of God, I think is the way we want to look at this. But I want to take a step back as we look at this is it's a stepping stone. And one of the great things about the Epitome is you can tell that the Concordians really built everything on top of each other. Not only how they do in the Augsburg, where they really do build on top of each other in response to the Roman Catholic Church. But for the Epitome and for the formula, they really are thinking about the issues that came up over that time. So they start with original sin. We're dead in sin. We need a resurrection. This is Ephesians 2 language, made alive together in Christ and dead in your sins. And then they talk about, okay, so how do you come to faith? You know, basically God takes us out of the equation. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That was free will in February, but the Holy Spirit is calling by the gospel. Enlighten me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. Now the question comes, as you said, righteousness in the voice that you did. And the question is, where do we find it? How do we know that we are made right? Or as we talk about justification, which is being made right. Mm-hmm. So this question brings up a lot of different questions that go through it. And I think they do a wonderful job in the Epitome of addressing this very thoroughly and also bringing up other questions about Jesus and his divinity and humanity. So that's how I want to start us off. So other thoughts.
What are the other questions that come up regarding our righteousness? I know there's some questions here.
There definitely is a lot of questions. Thank you. Do you have more questions? Do you want to ask?
No. Well, there are questions and controversy.
Yes. Oh, I like the controversies part. That's fun.
The chief question in the controversy, like I said, is, how do I know that I am being made right? And then the question of, okay, the full sufficiency of our righteousness is in Christ. Okay. Then the question is, how do you get that? Well, you get it through faith. How do you get this faith? Well, it's a gift from God. You know, it's keeping it real basic, keeping it real simple. But then the question comes up, okay, it's all in Jesus, right? Okay, it's Jesus, great. So he's two persons, right? Okay, so is it, I'm sure this is something people talk about over coffee on Saturday mornings, right?
Of course.
But anyways, the question is this based on, well, Jesus is God and man, right? So is it his godliness that saves us, or is it his humanity that saves us? And these are the questions that were the chief controversial issues of those days. And I can really imagine, like I said, all these controversies at that time were like decades long. This wasn't solved in a symposia or a coffee hour episode. It was decades long that you had to ask those kind of serious questions. And a lot of what happened in the formula is that they're trying to say, okay, let's keep this simple. So ask the questions. We need to do that. And I encourage our listeners to do the same. Ask those kind of questions. So am I saved by his divinity or his humanity? But also to take a step back and make sure we're focusing on the right things. So that's my encouragement as you read these parts of the confessions, is what was the issue, but also don't get lost in trying to get too much in the clouds, but ask the simple questions, go back to the simple cross and resurrection of our Lord.
Absolutely. So humanity, divinity, is it both and or one or the other? Let's answer that question.
Very good. Okay, so let's go to, I'm going to take a step back to make sure we're in the right place.
Okay.
So the question is, how do we become righteous? Go through the basic scripture passages. It all is about Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's a gift of God. 1 Corinthians 1, who is our righteousness? It is all Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. You have become one who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Romans 4, and to the one who does not work but believes in him is justified. He justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted as righteousness. And my favorite, 2 Corinthians 5, he made him to be sin who knew no sins, that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God. Very good. I have to get the Andy Bates way of saying that. The righteousness.
I'll never live that down.
You never live it down. Yeah. No.
I will speak only plainly from henceforth.
Can you imagine he's doing devotions with his family and he goes, oh, righteousness. That's great. Anyways. Okay. All right. So that's the scriptural understanding of where does it come from? It comes only from Jesus. Now, I know this is something we go through all again. But I do encourage our listeners, as the Concordians, we're trying to make sure that everyone was on the same page. It's vital that we all are using the right passages from Scripture to make sure we're very clear about what it is. Now, I wanted to go to the confessions to talk a little bit of how they speak of this, but do you guys have more questions here in the coffee hour that I need to address?
Well, I know next month we're talking about good works.
Yes.
Can't wait for that one.
I like good works. Yeah.
We're going to focus on that. But there's a little bit in this month's reading about good works, right?
Correct.
About with the relationship between righteousness and our good works. And I know we'll dig into that deeper this month. But anything you want to say about that this month?
Well, it's important for us to always understand that good works happen in faith. Okay. So when someone says, well, was that good work? Well, was it done in faith? Because, for example, my best friend in college, he is a wonderful guy. Probably does more good works as far as in the world than I do, but he doesn't do them in faith. He doesn't believe there's a God. You know, he's one of my best friends, but still he doesn't believe there is a God. So his works are not they're not done in a good sense because they're not done in faith in the good Lord who has done everything for him. Good for the world, but it's not necessarily seen as good when it comes to before God. Not that he gains righteousness or we gain righteousness because of them, but they are righteous. Why? Because they're done in faith in the good work of Jesus.
So that leads to a math question.
Yeah. Ooh, good. Yeah.
I don't like math.
Pastor Apple is not here for math question.
Yeah, he's good at that. Yeah,
I think his undergrad is in math, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I don't do math.
But this one, I think, is preacher math. So I think you can do this.
Preacher math.
Good preacher math.
Preacher math. So then, based on what you said, what percentage of our works is righteous, or what percentage of us is righteous, made righteous in Christ?
Oh, well, I'm going to guess on this one. 100% equals 100%.
But okay, so
Jesus plus our work. Jesus does his work, and therefore our works are 100% righteous.
So if I'm doing works in faith,
yes,
are they, but I, you know, it's not all perfect.
No, they're good works. Works that are according to God's word.
So how righteous are they?
They're fully righteous because of faith in Christ.
See, that's preacher math.
That's preacher math. Mm-hmm. You know, at Concordia, Nebraska, they did have contemporary math, which was made for the church workers. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, they had that at Concordia, Nebraska, and I took that class. So yeah. Yeah, but it was harder than that, though. It was even harder than that.
It was like Lutheran theological math?
No, it wasn't that, yeah. You see, now you're getting me all excited because I can't wait to get to the person of Christ because I have a math equation for that. So we'll get to that, though.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to hold that one back.
When did we get to that?
What? Oh, my gosh. What article is that? I feel terrible. You know, I only can do it's in August. All right. That's a long ways away.
I have my reading plan in front of me. I don't have it memorized.
For that one, hopefully we get to record in person, face to face for that one, hopefully as
maybe.
Well, because we'll probably record that in July and we'll be in New Orleans for that one.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we'll get to record that one at the Youth Gathering.
We might be able to.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
They're kind of acting like I'm going to be like locked in a room working the whole time, though, at that thing.
We're going to talk more about righteousness in just a moment. We're talking with Pastor Brady Finnern, president of LCMS Minnesota North District, and we're taking a look at the reading plan for reading the Book of Concord together. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are taking a look at the readings for this month for the Book of Concord in reading the Book of Concord together. Most of our readings, Pastor Finnern, have been in the formula of Concord for, like, what is it, week three? We have readings from something that is not the formula of Concord. We have a reading from the Small Called Articles. And it's really hard to say Small Called Articles very fast.
It is.
But just before we get into more reading about righteousness in the Book of Concord, a little bit about the Small Called Articles, because we've talked about what the formula is.
Mm-hmm.
But Small Called Articles.
Small Called Articles is phenomenal. It's probably one of the parts that in the Book of Concord that we overlook, not overlook in the sense of don't want to read it, but don't read it as thoroughly. So this is really Luther, who thought he was at the end of his life, 1537, I believe. He thought it was the end of his life. So he writes the Small Called Articles in response to the need to have a whole church council. And he's like, the Pope says he wants one. He doesn't want one. I know he doesn't want one. So I'm going to write this to say he doesn't want one, but I'm going to make everything very simple in a lot of the catechetical way that he taught. And so when he writes this, he writes with a little more bite, I would say. It's crazy for Luther.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are taking a look at the readings for this month for the Book of Concord in reading the Book of Concord together. Most of our readings, Pastor Finnern, have been in the formula of Concord for, like, what is it, week three? We have readings from something that is not the formula of Concord. We have a reading from the Small Called Articles. And it's really hard to say Small Called Articles very fast.
It is.
But just before we get into more reading about righteousness in the Book of Concord, a little bit about the Small Called Articles, because we've talked about what the formula is.
Mm-hmm.
But Small Called Articles.
Small Called Articles is phenomenal. It's probably one of the parts that in the Book of Concord that we overlook, not overlook in the sense of don't want to read it, but don't read it as thoroughly. So this is really Luther, who thought he was at the end of his life, 1537, I believe. He thought it was the end of his life, so he writes the Small Called Articles in response to the need to have a whole church council. And he's like, the Pope says he wants one. He doesn't want one. I know he doesn't want one, so I'm going to write this to say he doesn't want one, but I'm going to make everything very simple in a lot of the catechetical way that he taught. And so when he writes this, he writes with a little more bite, I would say. It's crazy for Luther, right? I mean, he writes a little more bite than the other parts of the Book of Concord. But he writes in such a succinct way here in Article 13 about how is one justified before God and does good works. So the connection is always there. When we talk about justification, we know that good works follows. And it says these beautiful words, such faith, which is in Christ, renewal in Christ and forgiveness of sins in Christ are followed by good works. He talks about how we're imperfect, clearly, but in Christ, our works are good and righteous on account of what Jesus has done for us. So actually, and when are we going to go through the Small Called? I don't know the dates very well, but it's coming up quick here on Concord Matters. Oh,
that's a whole other thing.
Unconquered Matters.
That's another program.
Yes, it is.
I don't have
program.
That schedule in front of me.
Are we not supposed to talk about that?
No, no, I can't remember.
Of course we can. Yeah. We can talk about it. I just don't have that schedule in front of me.
Absolutely. No, that's coming up here soon. Coming up on Unconquered Matters. So pay attention.
At some point.
At some point.
At some point.
In the spring. It's coming. It's coming in April, I believe.
That's fantastic. Just keep watching our podcast feeds. You'll find it. So let's talk about some of the controversies. What were some of the controversies surrounding righteousness, things that people were and are believing that we do not believe?
Very good. Well, there were two theologians in particular that are highlighted when you look at the history. One was Andreas Osiander, who was a German Lutheran theologian. He was very prominent. He was part of the Diet of Augsburg in 1530. Very prominent in the small caldic articles, which is like a few years before Luther wrote his small called articles, where they all gathered in the small caldic league and so forth. But he was one that was saying that in his opinion, it was that we were saved by Jesus's divinity. We're saved by his divine nature, not by his human nature and dwelling in one's heart. And so that was one. Okay. And the other one was Francesco Sancaro, who was an Italian. That was kind of fascinating to me. He became a Lutheran, and he was one that would definitely say that we are saved by his human nature, meaning that he makes residence inside a person's heart. So we have a human Jesus, we're human, therefore he comes into our heart, and therefore then we know we are saved. And this is still lurking around in our own world today. You hear somebody that will say, I have Jesus in my heart, or I accepted Jesus into my heart, which we talked last week a little bit about. But you talk about that language, where you talk about, I have Jesus in my heart. Now, if you remember as a kid, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Heart. Down in my heart. What?
Today.
Tuesday. Oh. See, look at this. This is like, yeah, this is. Anyways, when I was a kid, you know, what's the small catechism? I don't know, but I remember that song, you know. But anyways, but this that language. Now, we do believe that is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is not like the language isn't completely wrong, but the hope was very much so in trying to distinguish between Jesus's humanity and his divinity, trying to separate them. And then you go down a philosophical path where it actually is not focusing where our hope is. Our hope is not in our heart, but our hope is that Jesus is on the cross. This is one thing where one time I heard a pastor talking to other people and they were talking about how I accepted Jesus into my heart. And he was kind of frustrated at that point. And he said, you know, how about we take Jesus out of your heart and put him and make sure he's on the cross? Was his emphasis. And that's where our eyes are always looking, our hearts always believe, our ears are always hearing, that is where our hope is. So that kind of controversy is still around today. And I do believe that as they were clarifying all of this, that there was a lot of good teaching that happened, that people were able to speak about it faithfully and be redirected, that we don't need a part of Jesus. We don't need Jesus in our heart. We need the full Jesus on the cross, resurrected and still reigning on high.
Hmm. What else do you want to talk about in this month's reading?
One of the things that we see throughout this time is the fullness of when we talk about, we don't want to separate the two natures of Christ.
Yeah.
And when we do this, we want to make sure that we don't want a half Jesus or a half Jesus. We want the full Jesus.
More Lutheran math.
You want more Lutheran math, right?
I like Lutheran math.
Now, and I mentioned this in the article in Lutheran Witness, but I remember when I was in college, I was at a youth retreat and a pastor was doing a skit with like a youth or something. And the young person or the pastor went up to the young person and said, hey, do you want a piece of me? You know, kind of one of those, like get into a fight or something. And the other person responded was, I don't want a piece. I want the whole thing. And this is where we look at this throughout scripture when Jesus does talk about how I and the Father are one understanding there. We also understand that in Hebrews, when it says that he was tempted, that he was human, basically, this is Hebrews chapter 2, so that he will understand our temptations. So we need Jesus to be divine so that his perfect blood forgives us of our sins. We also need, and this is what God gives to us, we need a human Jesus who will understand what we went through, the feelings, all of this, that he actually dies like a human dies, but he does so without sin, that he does all these good works that we are unable to do, and he does them perfectly, his divinity, but also does them as a human. And like I said, this is going to be communication of attributes, Martin Chemnitz time here coming up very quickly, but it does give us an understanding of we can get really lost in the weeds. But what do we want? We want a full Jesus. We want a full cross. We want a full resurrection and understanding of who he is, but to do so faithfully so we don't mix it up and try to confuse people, but make it very clear. And this is very true in the formula, because if you look at, and this is something I don't think I've quite highlighted to this point, but not only do we see what we believe, but we also see what we do not believe. So if you go to the formula and you look at Article 3, it has this wonderful reality of, and we need this so much in our world today. We talk so much about, we proclaim the truth, but there's so many times we need to actually say what we don't believe. So we reject that Christ is our righteousness according to his divine nature alone. Christ is our righteousness according to his human nature alone. And this is 1 Corinthians 1, where it talks about Christ is our righteousness, and then you stop talking. Christ is our righteousness, and you let it be. What about his humanity? What about his divinity? And we keep saying the word yes. Number 4, faith is not only looks to Christ's obedience, but also to his divine nature, since it dwells and works in us, and by his indwelling, our sins are covered. This is where you're like, yeah, that's great. Because he lives in my heart, therefore I'm saved. Like, well, he does live in us, but we are saved by the cross alone. And so all of these very much so, I think, address all the questions that naturally come up and drags us back into the simplistic reality that we are saved by grace alone, by his righteousness, and not our own.
What a fascinating concept, but really wrong too. Just to think about faith not only looks to Christ's obedience, but right, also his divine nature. To think that you could separate his obedience from his divine nature.
Correct.
Like, he couldn't have been fully obedient without his divine nature. Anyway,
exactly,
sorry,
right.
I digress.
Right.
But that just caught my attention.
Anyway. It does, because how many times do we go down a rabbit hole because we have an idea, and that's a perfect one is, all right, let's look at his obedience. Isn't that amazing how obedient he is? And then you look at his divine nature, and then you aren't thinking of how those two are connected. And you start thinking about that hope. See, he did everything perfectly, and then people can easily look at it and go, well, then therefore I can too, without Christ almost. And how quickly we can then start talking about what do I need to do, and you quickly forget about what he has already done.
And that brings us back to Pelagianism.
Yeah.
Pelagius.
Yeah. You know, we don't really have like names for these other guys. You know,
we
don't
make
have
up
an Osianderism, you know, or Stenkaroism. I mean, we could start this. This could be a new start here on the Coffee Hour. Let's start making up new heresies. Not new heresies, they're old heresies.
They're
but
old
the
heresies,
names that,
but
new
heresies.
Names that people will be able
same
to
heresy,
say for generations.
Name.
Yeah, for generations. You can get a PhD in this. Let's just do that. Let's do this, Andy.
PhD in heresies?
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
heresies, new names.
I mean,
it sounds like a new series.
I've been wanting to do a series on heresies for a while.
Yeah, tell me more.
No, let's do it. They're interesting because they're wrong.
I'll tell you what, when I was at seminary, our intramural teams were based on heresies. And so we were the Arians.
That's hilarious.
That was my team, the Arians. We weren't very
awful.
Good, which is probably reflective of the actual Arian heresy. But
don't make that a soundbite.
We were the Arians. Yeah. Yeah. Don't put that out of context. Thank you.
Anyway, did we define terms? I'm going way back to the beginning. Did we actually define the terms of what we actually mean by righteousness and what righteousness before God actually is?
Right. I mean, we commonly will say the word justification.
Right. But what does that mean? I mean,
and
I know what that means. What does that mean?
So righteous literally means being made right before God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do I know that I can stand before God and that he will look at me as right in his eyes? Or, you know, I talk about this a lot, is a clear conscience. How do I know that I have a good relationship with God? How do I know that I have a right relationship with God? And that is simply by the grace of Jesus. So when we stand before God at the resurrection and stand before God the Father, how are you going to know that you're made right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start talking about what you did right, all those things that you I had good intentions, God, or we could do this way. We could look at the, you know, Andy next to me and go, well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. And this is how we typically do it. But it is God who says, no, you are made right, righteous by a faith in Christ alone. And not only Christ, God and man, but the full Christ, the whole Christ for you and for me. Did that answer it?
Yeah.
Good.
Thanks.
Very good. Going way back.
Anything else we need to define before we get a preview of next month?
Ooh. No.
Oh, for next month?
Yeah.
No.
Good works. Well, anything you need to define for this month before I jump to my next question about next month?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
That's okay.
Do you think we should have something defined?
No.
Okay. No, I have nothing more to define.
I there's something I missed.
I have nothing. Nope. Nope. Nope.
Did I miss a heresy or two?
No, and I would just encourage everybody to really look at the parts of the Augsburg Confession, obviously Augsburg Confession 4, and then also the other readings, because they are very, very clear. And if you, well, put it this way, if you don't get those right, the next section on good works can really throw you off. Mm-hmm. And this is a very much so a tendency for all of us. So just, I really encourage you to look at the Augsburg Confession, look at the Apology, which is quite a bit longer, but to really dig that in, because one, that's the truth, but two, it's a good foundation and comforting to the soul to realize the depth of God's love for us and, well, really, how little we actually deserve it.
Very good. Well, next month, we're going to talk about good works. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And let's see, by next month, we'll be well into the middle, like, middle of Lent.
Yeah.
Lent begins just in a couple of days.
It does.
Right after this.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It is exciting.
Next year.
It is exciting.
All right. Well, looking forward to that. And we'll record online next time, but looking forward to hopefully seeing you face to face at the youth gathering in July, where we can record our August episode. And what did we say was coming up in August that we were super excited?
The person of Christ.
The person of Christ.
The person of Christ.
That's going to be a good one.
He didn't have the creepy voice for that one.
That's
nope.
True. Person of Christ. You can find the reading plan at witness.lcms.org. Click on the resource tab. You can find the reading plan for reading the Book of Concord together. Our guest today, the Reverend Brady Finnern, pastor and president of LCMS Minnesota North District, also host of Concord Matters here on KFUO on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pastor Finnern, thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.